This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello and welcome to today's readings of selections from the new April-May issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, we have an audio opinion entitled, Are Any Books Truly Unrecordable? It's written by audiobook historian Matthew Rubery. Then we begin our feature on kids and teens with reviews in Children and Family Listening, including one of our listen-alike picks for Dark Creepy Tales, Hoodoo, by Ronald L. Smith. It's an Earphones winner read by Ron Butler. Let's get right to it. This audio opinion is by Matthew Rubery, and what I didn't know, and probably you didn't either, is that there is such a thing as audiobook history. So here's his contributing information. Matthew Rubery is an audiobook historian and professor of modern literature at Queen Mary University of London. He served as editor for audiobooks, literature, and sound studies, and co-curated How We Read, a sensory history of books for blind people. A public exhibition held at the UK's first annual Being Human Festival. His latest book is titled The Untold Story of the Talking Book, and his audio opinion is entitled, Are Any Books Truly Unrecordable? There's a subcategory here. Some may seem impossible, but maybe we're still learning to experience what audio can add to a book's meaning. Matthew Rubery. While I was doing research for my book on the history of audiobooks, I began to wonder if there were limits on what could be recorded. For a long time, audio publishers prudently avoided difficult books, even historically significant literature everyone had heard of. Tristram Shandy? Too many funny-looking pages. To the Lighthouse? Full of flashbacks. Finnegan's Wake? Unpronounceable. What seemed to work best out loud were stories that tended to have strong plots, few speakers, and no gimmicks. It must have seemed safer to stick with good, old-fashioned storytelling like Gone with the Wind than to ask or risk anything unconventional. Audio publishers have always been challenged by books that contain more photographs, more than words, photographs, illustrations, diagrams, charts, maps, and any visual aid important to the story still pose a dilemma for recording studios, and no one seems to agree on the best way to handle them. Some narrators describe what they see on the page. Others let sound effects speak for themselves. Some publishers put pictorial matter on their websites or in a separate document. Most simply leave it out. Problem solved. Few genres, then, would seem less suited to sound recording than comics. They are essentially a visual art form that, in the eyes of fans, relies on the interplay between word bubbles and cartoons for their magic. From this perspective, even the space between the panels, what aficionados refer to as the gutter, is full of meaning. Take away the pictures and you take away what makes comics comics. And yet comic books have long been entertaining audiences over the airwaves. Fans of old-time radio have been tuning in to the adventures of Superman and other caped crusaders since the 1940s. More recently, companies like Graphic Audio and Audio Comics have begun adapting comic books into sound. Graphic Audio led the way in turning DC and Marvel Comics into audio dramatizations with full casts, sound designs, and musical scores. While most of the graphic novels recorded to date have been based on novelizations or even screenplays, for example, Blackstone's V for Vendetta, Graphic Audio's most recent adaptations, from Cemetery Girl to Ms. Marvel, come straight from the original page. The company's very name suggests that pictures and sound may not make such strange bedfellows after all. Traditionalists can take comfort in the fact that some adaptations stick closely to the experience of reading comics in print. Those available at Comics Empower, a virtual comic book store for blind and partially sighted people, began by describing the cover's appearance. A tall humanoid creature stands on a flat plane. And then move panel by panel, describing the pictures and words in each one. By emphasizing audio description over adaption, this bookish solution provides an alternative to the staged versions, if not exactly an audiobook, then an audio comic book. However, more publishers turn comics into full-blown dramatizations. To take an acclaimed example, Joe Hill's graphic novel series Lock and Key has been converted into an audio production with a cast of over 50 voice actors. The adaptation's major challenge was finding a way to preserve Gabriel Rodriguez's spectacular artwork through sound effects alone. Its musical score does everything it can to recreate the book's spooky atmosphere. Fan response was largely enthusiastic, though one fan warned prospective buyers that the Lock and Key recording wasn't an audiobook at all. Others compared it to old-time radio dramas, television shows, and the movies. Some complained that the narrator-less action scenes, especially the fisticuffs, were confusing. The studio's creative use of musical themes does manage to preserve the graphic novel's flashbacks and ghostly shape-shifting. No sound effects, though, could preserve the artwork's hallucinatory reflections that do so much to unsettle the reader. Such visual details are what gets lost in translation. The audio versus book argument may itself be misleading, since a large percentage of the audience is acquainted with both formats. Personally, I've enjoyed reading and listening to Lock and Key. Doing so felt like two distinct experiences as I savored the dazzling artwork of the one and the emotional wallop of the other. Don't make me choose between them, since I'd be missing out either way. There will always be some books that are not worth the hassle of converting into audio. Cult favorite Mark Z. Danielewski's House of Leaves is probably best left alone, since so much of its pleasure derives from the page layouts that the rewards would not outweigh the effort. Such cases, however, are becoming increasingly rare now that adventuresome publishers seem to view just about any book as recordable. Even David Foster Wallace's notoriously daunting Infinite Jest has been turned into an audiobook, if not to the complete satisfaction of Wallace's fan club. Publishers' definition of difficult books is always up for revision. By 2010, for instance, listeners could find unabridged audio editions of Tristram Shandy and To the Lighthouse, both well-received by audiophile and others. The line between what's recordable and unrecordable continues to shift, ensuring that fewer and fewer titles will be left without some kind of audio version. That means there's hope for fans of Alan Moore's Watchmen, Alison Bechdel's Funhouse, Marjane Satrapi's Persepolis, and Riyad Satouf's The Arab of the Future, Art Spiegelman's Maus, and countless other beloved comics that have yet to be converted into audiobooks. So, I'm sticking with my view. No book is truly unrecordable. But can the recording be called an audiobook? Now, that's a different question. That was an audio opinion by Matthew Rubery. And now we will turn our attention to our feature this month, which is audiobooks for kids and teens. Audiobooks and kids make a great match. Intimate and exciting performances from skilled narrators can help bring the literature to life in new ways. We've made some more great matches on the following pages. We have listen-alikes that we've paired because they share a similar theme or idea. there are misfit girls, journeys to self-discovery, explorations of war and slavery, battles against injustice, and opportunities to learn about cultures and experiences that may be different from our own. In other words, there's sure to be something that will appeal to every middle grade and teen listener in your life. Our first review in Children and Family Listening is an earphones winner. And as you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. In the print version of the magazine, many of our reviews display a QR code, which, when you scan it with your smartphone, will play a sound sample of the book. I'll let you know when a review has a sound sample. And if you don't have a smartphone, you can still hear many of our titles at www.audiophilemagazine.com. And before I read that first review, let me remind you that this is the brand new April-May issue of Audiophile Magazine. It's the magazine that helps you to discover the world of audiobooks. Okay, our first review is Hoodoo by Ronald L. Smith, an earphones winner read by Ron Butler. Narrator Ron Butler conveys the naive playfulness of 12-year-old Hoodoo, who was born into a magical family, seemingly without any magic himself. Butler amplifies the humor of Hoodoo's oft-repeated refrain, "If you didn't know," with just the right throwaway quality. Butler is also frighteningly believable as the deep-voiced stranger, a demon who must be vanquished by Hoodoo in order to save his family and community. Elements of life in a small African-American enclave in the 1930s Alabama are brought forth through the delicious text and immersive narration, with Jim Crow problems integrally woven into the story. Spooky and comical by turns, Ronald L. Smith's atmospheric winner of a 2016 Coretta Scott King Award is terrific family listening. Sharon Grover wrote that review of Hoodoo by Ronald L. Smith, an earphones winner from Ron Butler. It's available from Dreamscape for 5.5 hours unabridged, ages 10 and up, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Our next review in Children and Family Listening is Return to the Secret Garden. It's written by Holly Webb, and it's an earphones winner, read by Maggie Ollerenshaw. Narrator Maggie Ollerenshaw's unassuming yet powerful storytelling pulls one into an adventure that begs to be listened to. In 1939 England, 10-year-old Emmy and her orphanage mates are hastily evacuated to Misselthwaite Manor. Her time at the manor in the care of Lieutenant and Mrs. Craven and son Jack connects to Francis H. Burnett's 1911 book, The Secret Garden, but is its own standalone story as well. What sorrows and joys await the children? Whom will Emmy befriend? What makes the manor gardens special? Ollerenshaw is natural. Her steady pacing, calm yet compelling voice, and distinctive characterizations, especially for brusque gardener Mr. Sowerby and loving yet overwhelmed Mrs. Craven, make for easy listening. Ollerenshaw's British accent adds authenticity. Ann Ritchie wrote that review of Return to the Secret Garden. It's written by Holly Webb, and it's an earphones winner by Maggie Ollerenshaw. It's available from Dreamscape for 5.25 hours unabridged listening, ages 8 and up. Our next review is Beautiful Blue World by Suzanne Lefleur. It's an earphones winner read by Christy Carlson Romano. The story takes place in the fictional country of Solferendi. Narrator Christy Romano expresses the tenderness among Mathilde's family members, even as they are threatened by the bombing of their war-torn town. When Mathilde is given the opportunity to contribute to the war effort and her family's financial well-being, her parents think it's for the best. She passes at an adolescent army aptitude test and is paid for her impending service. Before she knows it, Mathilde's hidden in a secret location inhabited by brilliant children who decipher patterns, informations, and codes. Mathilde feels inferior, though Romano makes her talents clear, until she's given a special mission at which she excels. Through Mathilde's viewpoint, Romano illuminates the horrific efforts of war. Listeners will be disappointed by the cliffhanger ending, but they will welcome the sequel. Susie Wilde wrote that review of Beautiful Blue World. It's written by Suzanne Lefleur. It's an Earphones winner, read by Christy Carlson Romano, and it's available from Listening Library for 5 hours, unabridged, ages 8 and up, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Next, we have Brike's Hill by David Pollitt, read by the author and a full cast. It's an Earphones winner. David Pollitt's gem will have children of all ages spellbound. When Otto refuses to attend his mother's wedding, he's sent to stay with his grandfather, the inventor of the Brike, which is half bike, half dinosaur. Pollitt, who also co-wrote the production's music, is stupendous as brilliant and witty granddad and engaging as many other characters. Lively music and realistic sound effects throughout add atmosphere. The most fun is Gay Soper as Audrey, granddad's lovably bossy housekeeper. Listeners will be thrilled to hear the talking dinosaurs when Otto and his cousin use the Brikes to defeat Ernie, who is trying to steal Granddad's secrets. A touching concert with music that represents each of the story's characters and events is a final treat in this unique audiobook. Susan G. Baird wrote that review of Brike's Hill. It's written and read by David Pollitt and a full cast, and it's an Earphones winner from David Pollitt for 3 hours and 25 minutes. Unabridged. Next, we have Flying Lessons and Other Stories. It's edited by Ellen O, and it's read by a lot of cast members. There's a story for every listener in this lively and winning anthology from We Need Diverse Books. Dionne Graham brings just the right energy and keen understanding to Matt De La Pena's brilliant How to Transform an Everyday Hoop Court into a Place of Higher Learning and You at the Podium. Tim Federle's Secret Samantha, as narrated by Julia Whalen, is another standout. And authors Meg Medina, Tim Tingle, and Kwame Alexander each bring their own authentic voices and storytelling chops to their entries. All of the narrators here deliver skilled readings matching the moods of the 10 stories. It's a collection to be savored and the perfect introduction to these superb authors. Jennifer M. Dowell wrote that review of Flying Lessons and Other Stories, edited by Ellen O, and read by a large cast of talented narrators. It's available from Listening Library for 4.5 hours, ages 8 and up, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Next, we have Marvin and the Moths, read by Matthew Holm, or written by Matthew Holm and Jonathan Follett, and it's an Earphones winner read by Ramon D'Acampo. The narrator of the popular Diary of a Wimpy Kid series, Ramon D'Acampo, applies his hallmark enthusiasm to Marvin Watson's introduction to middle school in this pork-obsessed town, Butcherville. Listeners will cringe and laugh out loud in equal measure as Marvin is subjected to the horrors of middle school, where he's befriended only by outcasts and taunted by his cousin Stevie. At home, he's relegated to the attic bedroom by his new baby brother. When Marvin teams up with Fatima and Lee for a science presentation, listeners will be breathless from laughter. D'Acampo's best creations are the giant moths who've taken up residence in Marvin's attic. They watch baseball and the Shakespeare-quoting spider that is stalking the town. This production is truly a tour de force. Mary F. Thompson wrote that review of Marvin and the Moths. It's written by Matthew Holm and Jonathan Follett, and Earphones winner read by Ramon Diocampo. It's available from Scholastic Books for 6.75 hours, unabridged, ages 8 through 12. Next, we have Our Food by Grace Lynn and Renita T. McNeely. It's an Earphones winner read by Christina Moore. Christina Moore's diverting narration is well suited to this fun, short science book for children. Moore keeps things light and engaging as the authors explore food and basic biology. Lilting tones pose questions such as, what vegetables come in your favorite color? And explain topics like, why beans make us gassy, capturing the book's humor and encouraging curiosity and discussion. Moore's highly modulated voice not only adds to the richness of the food descriptions, for example, the textures of fruits, but also keeps the more detailed explanations engaging. As the author points out in the multifaceted aspects of Our Food and Diet, Moore helps make this children's listening experience both educational and entertaining. Maya Fleischman wrote that review of Our Food by Grace Lynn and Renita T. McNeely, an Earphones winner read by Christina Moore. It's available from Recorded Books for 15 minutes unabridged, ages 6 and up. Next, we have The Best Bear in All the World. It's by Jean Willis with Kate Saunders and Brian Sibley and Paul Bright, and it's read by Martin Jarvis, and it's an Earphones winner. Martin Jarvis takes on the narration of four new Winnie the Pooh stories and nails it. In this authorized sequel, Jarvis has all the emphasis, hesitation, skepticism, authority, bluster, elongated pauses, grumpiness, breathlessness, hush, and tempo and voice modulation listeners expect from a Winnie the Pooh 90th anniversary celebration. Listeners will meet Penguin, who arrives in the Hundred Acre Wood, take an adventure to find the sauce, or source, of the Nile, help Eeyore protect his clover patch, and search for a dragon. Jarvis's delight is clear as he delivers the dramatic moments involving Christopher Robin, Pooh, Piglet, and Eeyore, who is portrayed in Jarvis's deepest and most gravelly voice. To complete the production, the four authors share their individual inspirations for each adventure. Ann Ritchie wrote that review of The Best Bear in All the World, written by Jean Willis, Kate Saunders, Brian Sibley, and Paul Bright. It's an Earphones winner read by Martin Jarvis, and it's available from Listening Library for 1.5 hours, unabridged, ages 10 and up. Next we have Maybe Something Beautiful, How Art Transformed a Neighborhood. It's by F. Isabel Campoy and Teresa Howell, read by Adriana Sananes. Narrator Adriana Sananes delights in the imagination and hope of young Mira. A doodler, drawer, and painter, Mira shares her creations, an apple, a songbird, a heart, with the people she meets along the street. After she tapes a yellow sun to a drab brick wall and a man with paintbrushes and a vision for something beautiful discovers it, a neighborhood transformation begins. Sananes' enthusiasm is evident. Mira's outbursts of joy, the paintbrush's man's musing on the wall's possibilities, and even a policeman come through as vivid characters. Accompanying music provides bursts of merengue, cha-cha, and salsa as neighbors come together to paint. An interview with the authors in which they explain the origin of the urban art trail in the East Village of San Diego concludes the production. Ann Ritchie wrote that review of Maybe Something Beautiful, How Art Transformed a Neighborhood. It's by F. Isabel Campoy and Teresa Howell, read by Ariana Sananes. It's available from Dreamscape for 11 minutes, unabridged, ages 4 through 6. Finally, today we have The Red Umbrella by Cristina Diaz-Gonzalez, read by Kyla Garcia. Kyla Garcia masterfully narrates the story of Lucia, a 14-year-old social butterfly living in placid life in 1960s Cuba. When communists invade Lucia's sleepy town, everything changes. First, their freedoms disappear one by one, and then their neighbors begin to disappear. Escape to the United States becomes the only solution, so Lucia and her brother, Frankie, make the dramatic journey. Garcia does a magnificent job, balancing the suspense of their escape and the more commonplace joys and sorrows of youth. She's equally at home, voicing the siblings and their Nebraskan foster parents. Listeners will cheer for this engaging and well-told story. Laura Lintz wrote that review of The Red Umbrella by Cristina Diaz-Gonzalez, read by Kyla Garcia. It's a Sync 2017 pick, and it's available from Ideal on Dreamscape Audio for 7.25 hours unabridged, ages 8 and up. That's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we have a very special look at the terrific Sync program offering free audiobooks to teens, no strings. Then we'll have reviews in Young Adult Listening and an author interview with Nicola Ewan and a review of her latest novel, The Sun is Also a Star. It's an Earphones winner read by Bonnie Turpin and Raymond Lee. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.